So this coming Shabbos, of course, we're going to read Maasai. Even in Chutz Laretz, I'll read Matos Maasai. And this completes Sefer Bamidbar. And then we go on for Shabbos Chazon to Sefer Dvarim. And every year, year in and year out, we read Parashas Maasai during the 3 weeks. Usually, on a regular year, it would be smack in the middle. It would be in between Matos, which would be the first Shabbos of the Shalosh Shavuos, and then the last Shabbos would be Dvarim, which is Shabbos Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av. In the middle, we have Parshas Maasai. So yesterday I gave a whole shiur on the question of why Parshas Maasai is very much connected to the 3 weeks. And if you get a chance, I'd love you to hear that shiur, and I'd try to get your impression of that shiur. You could find it on YU Torah. But today, we want to speak again based on the same principle of the Gemara at the end of Megillah, that Ezra deliberately organized the parashios to be read at certain periods of time. Today we want to discuss, why is it that the completion of Sefer Bamidbar and the beginning of Sefer Dvarim coincides with the 3 weeks? Meaning, Bamidbar is the culmination of Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. They form a unit. We complete that unit this coming Shabbos with Parshas Maasai, and then immediately we go on to the next entity, which is the fifth Chumash, namely Dvarim. And that both this process of completing the first set, the first four Chumashim, and beginning the last Chumash, both coincide with the 3 weeks. Why did Ezra organize it in such a way that we are Messiahim the 4 weeks, the four Sfarim, excuse me, and then we begin the fifth Sefer? Now the main topic for today is a concept called Zroa Netuya, or Yado Netuya. Yado Netuya Olenu means that God has stretched His arm out over the people of Israel. What is the symbolic meaning of that statement, which comes from both a Pasuk in Tanakh and from a Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani, which we're about to start? Okay. Let's look at the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Heyamid Beis that tells us a story about the great Tana Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani at the time of the Roman persecution of the Jewish people. And perhaps that story contains within it a very strong message about the Avelus of Churban Bayis, about Golus, and about this time of the year, Bein HaMetzorim. Who is this Tana Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya? There are many things we could say about him, but what's relevant to us today is that he took it upon himself to appear in the presence of the Caesar of Rome and engage in a debate with the adversaries, the Sonei Yisrael, and one particular adversary, one particular Apikoris, who challenged Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya to this debate that took place in the presence of the Caesar. And the end of the debate is when Rabbi Yeshua makes his pronouncement, Yado Netuya Olenu. So we want to study those three words, Yado Netuya Olenu. So let's get to the story. The story told by the Gemara is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, Anochi Aster, Aster Es Ponai Vayomahu, which means that there will be Hester Ponim. And Rav Yosef said that even at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals his face from Klal Yisrael, it means during the time of Hester Ponim, nevertheless, it's Yado Netuya Olenu. And this is a statement of Rav Yosef in the Medrash on Parshas Vayelech, and the Gemara quotes it here in Chagiga. And this phrase of Yado Netu Yolenu, Rav Yosef derives from a pasuk in Yeshaya Novi, which we'll see as we go along in Mirtz Hashem. It's a long pasuk, and that pasuk ends with the words Yado Vayet Yado Olav. Fine, we'll get to that soon. So if you're following me in the text, we're in the middle of page 1. In the bold print on the top of the middle column, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Havikoi be Kesar, he's standing in the presence of the Caesar of Rome, and he's engaged in this debate with an apikoros. The word apikoros might refer, I'm not sure, to the early Christians, which were Jews that were influenced by that apikoros. In any event, this particular apikoros is standing in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and instead of engaging in some sort of verbal debate, this apikoros decides that he's going to do some symbolic action with his body, and that's going to indicate to Rabbi Yeshua, and as Rabbi Yeshua will understand what message he's sending to Rabbi Yeshua as the representative of the Jewish people. And the Gemara says the following: instead of looking Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya in the face, he deliberately, this apikoros, turns his back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The response of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is the following: Achvile yado netuya aleinu. So the Caesar turns to Rabbi Yeshua and he says, what was this symbol? What did you mean with this yado netuya aleinu business? So the response of Rabbi Yeshua was, why don't you ask this apikoros? I mean, for sure, he's such a brilliant fellow, he must have understood what I was telling him. So, Amr le lahumina. So they turned to this min, this apikoros, and asked him about this dialogue back and forth, you know, these gestures. My achvis le, what did you mean when you turned your face to him? Umayach ve'loch, and what was his response? Rabbi Yeshua's response with the yad, when he put the yad in that position. Now, initially, when the Caesar asked about the meanings of these various gestures, so the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, told the Caesar that the apikoros, by turning his face to me, was trying to convey the message that God has turned away from the Jewish people. And Rabbi Yeshua says that the apikoros was trying to be merames to him what it says in the pasuk that we mentioned earlier, Anochi aster aster panai bayomahu. And Rabbi Yeshua said, I immediately understood what he meant, and I gave him his due response, which is Notas Yado Yado Netuyolim. Now the Caesar gives the apikoros a chance to explain what he had meant when he turned his face, and he said that the Tan understood that God has turned his face against the Jewish people. But then the Caesar asks the Min, who's supposed to be a great scholar, a great wise person, what response did you get from Yeshua? What was the remez? What was his meaning when he was notes yado? At this point, the Min, I'm going to use my own language here, he turned all colors of the rainbow. He was very embarrassed, and he had to admit in front of the Caesar that he did not understand what Rabbi Yeshua's response was. So now the Caesar is in a situation where he has to turn to Rabbi Yeshua in order to understand what was the symbolic response of Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua whispers to the Caesar that what he meant to say was that God is still stretching his arm over the Jewish people and protecting them even as he turns his face away, behester ponim. Now, as a result, the Caesar realized that on the one hand, Rabbi Yeshua gave a very valid answer, but on the other hand, this man could not understand his response. So he turns to the men and he says, "Are you meant to be this great scholar? And how come you couldn't understand what Rabbi Yeshua was telling you?" And as a result of the failure of this apikoros to pass the test, that he couldn't understand the remuzim of Rabbi Yeshua, so they commanded, the Caesar commanded, that they take this guy out. And as a result, the Gemara tells us that Adam She'enu Mesuga Lahavin, if you're a person that can't even, you're not even capable of understanding the Ramazim, Ha'im Roy, how do you have the chutzpah to stand in front of the Caesar and engage others in a debate? And the Gemara ends up by saying, Hotzi'u Vehargu. They took him out, and that was it. They put him to death. Now, what we want to study today is an amazing analysis, very original insights of the Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsk. It's always been a project in my mind, but I never got around to it, to really study Rabbi Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, in great depth and on a thorough, comprehensive basis. But in any event, let's be happy with what we have today. One piece from the Meshech Chachma. And he's going to analyze this whole story that the Gemara is telling us, the episode of Rabbi Yeshua and his encounter with this apikoros, what exactly is going on. But by way of introduction, Rabbi Simcha tells us that we have to take a look at a Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav. And this Gemara is about the mitzvah of tefillin, and specifically about the difference between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And I always love to find opportunities, because on a daily basis we put on tefillin, and I'm hoping our discussion today will enhance our intention when we put on tefillin on a daily basis. At the end of the Chumash, the pasuk says, "V'ro kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha." And all the nations of the world will observe your Shem Hashem Nikolech, that you have the name of God on top of you, and they will fear you. Rabbi Lezer Agadol Omer, this is a reference to Tfilin Sheberosh. And it means that the Ami Ha'aretz are afraid of Tfilin Shel Rosh. On the other hand, if we compare this Gemara in Brachos to Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin in Beis in Menachos says, "V'hoy lechol lios al yodecha, lechol lios, v'lo lacherim lios," meaning that tefillin are very private. So how do we reconcile this? The Gemara in Brachos says, "Ki shem Hashem nikra lecha," the people will see your tefillin, v'yaru mimecha. The pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel, "V'hoy lechol lios al yodecha," according to Gemara Menachos, is telling us that lechol lios v'lo lachem lios is very private. Says the Ar Sameach, there's no stira, because if you read the two psukim carefully, you'll realize they're referring to two tefillin, two different tefillin. The pasuk "V'hoy lechol lios al yodecha," that's referring to tefillin shel yad. The pasuk "Ki shem Hashem nikra lecha" is referring to tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel yad are covered, they're private, whereas the tefillin shel rosh are exposed and they're public in nature. Everybody sees them. Says the Meshech Chachma, there's a fundamental difference in terms of the Ha'aris Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it reflects itself in Tefillin Shel Yad versus Tefillin Shel Rosh, in that dichotomy, between the time that the Mikdash stood and we were in Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to, again, that situation is going to recreate itself at the time of the ultimate Ge'ula, and all of the time in between after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And he says the following, that the light of Tefillin Shel Yad is going to be effective and meaningful for all eternity, even during a period of Golus and Churban. But what's unique about Tefillin Shel Rosh is that Tefillin Shel Rosh symbolizes a certain kind of gilui, a certain kind of revealed light that's going to generate pachad at the time when the Mikdash stands, at periods of time in which we have gilui. Gilui means not hester, but God is protecting the people of Israel with miracles, supernatural events that are obvious to the onlooker, to the spectator. So when the pasuk says "V'ro kol ami artzis ki shem Hashem mikra lecha v'yiru mimecha," the Gemara says "Elu tefillin shabarash." That was the Gemara brachas that we started with. That's a reference to the time period in Jewish history when the Mikdash stood, and then "V'ro kol ami artzis." Then that gilui of Hashem is public in nature and all the nations of the world can perceive it. That's because of the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Tefillin Shel Rosh. However, at the time of Golus and Hester Panim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mani Klal Yisrael, but it's only the Bechina, it's the expression of Tefillin Shel Yad. It means it's hidden. It's Lecholios V'lo Lacherimlios. Means the nations of the world don't perceive God's continued protection of the Jewish people during the time of Golus and Churban, as it reflects itself in the Tefillin Shel Yad. The Tefillin Shel Yad is private. And this means that even though we will wear the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh during periods of Golus, however, the particular mode of Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Yisrael, God's supervision, is that of B'Seser during Golus, and that reflects the Tefillin Shel Yad. In a sense, I think what the Me'ez Simcha is implying, and we'll see it a little bit later, is that wearing the Tefillin Shel Rosh is almost as if we're existing, we're behaving as if the Beis HaMikdash stood, meaning the ultimate Geula, when the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi will be erected, will be constructed. And that's when we'll get to the level of Tefillin Shel Rosh. Right now the Tefillin Shel Rosh do not reach their ultimate symbolic fruition, because for that we need Gilui. We need V'ro kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. That's going to happen at the time of the Geula liyasid lava. But now, what we're living in is a period of Golus, and what we have is not V'ro kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem v'yaru mimecha, because that's the Bechina of Gilui, in which spectacular events will take place, miracles that God will bring about for the sake of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. That we don't have. That's going to be left for the period of the ultimate Geula. Then the Tefillin Shel Rosh will reach their fruition. Right now all we have is the Tefillin Shel Yad. Again, on a symbolic level. Well, obviously we're wearing Tefillin Shel Rosh as well, but the Tefillin Shel Rosh that we're wearing now is kind of a silent ritual. You know, we quietly put it on and quietly take it off. It doesn't have that element of Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is V'ro kol ami aretz, of pirsum, of publicity, of something that's revealed, because right now we're in the state of Tefillin Shel Yad, and Tefillin Shel Yad is l'chol lios v'lo l'acherim lios. The nations of the world do not observe those great miracles, and therefore our relationship is all behester, but not begiul. Liyasid lavo, it'll be V'ro kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. That's going to be the Tefillin Shel Rosh. But the Tefillin Shorash will represent the perfect realization, the complete total realization of that eschatological vision, that vision of Liyosid Lavo, when the role of Kalami Arts, when Hashem's supervision over the Jewish people will be obvious, will be revealed, will be constant, will be spectacular, will be metaphysical. That's all left for the future. Right now, what we can hope for is just the Bechina of Tefillin Shel Yad, which means God's Hashgach, His personal relationship with Klal Yisrael, Be-Hester, Be-Nistar, meaning when it's not, Be-Golui, because the Hoy L'Chol Yos Ha-Yodecha, L'Chol Yos V'lo L'Acherim Yos. So we can, in a sense, say the following. On a symbolic level, not halachically, which tefillin is primary? And it depends what period of time you're talking about. If your period of time is one of gilui, is the Beis HaMikdash is standing, then we're talking about tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel rosh now emerge as the primary tefillin, because tefillin shel rosh is begilui and vero kol ami aretz. If, on the other hand, we're talking about a period of Jewish history where we have a churba, we have golus and hester panim, then I would say that the main, on a symbolic level again, the main tefillin are the tefillin shel yad. We're hoping and we're praying to see the day when the ultimate gilui and the revelation of the light of Tefillin Shel Rosh will become a reality. And that's going to happen at the time of Mashiach, at the time of the ultimate Geula. Now, if you turn to page 2, which I'm going to do now myself, the Arsameach, meaning the Meshech Chachma, same author, he now reveals the essence of the debate between Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and that Apikoros. The Apikoros looked and perceived at the relationship between God and the people of Israel as that of Tefillin Shel Yad, meaning there was no indication whatsoever that Hashem was protecting His people. On the contrary, it would seem, and that's certainly during that terrible, horrible period of Roman persecution, it would seem, says the Apikoros, that God has turned His face away. It's Hester upon Him. And that's it. You know, the Jewish people are goners. I mean, if they had any sort of special status, it's because of the relationship of Shechina. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away Aster Panov. And therefore what He does is Aster Panov, who is Zirat Panov. He turns around in the other direction. And that's the remez that the Apikoros conveys here, Vanochi Aster Aster Ponai. And this is so typical of the early Christians, and not just the early Christians, that we are no longer the chosen people, Chas V'Shalom, but they chose them instead of us. So that's what this Min was saying, probably close to 2,000 years ago, that the Vanochi Aster Aster Ponai, that phenomenon that God plays hide and seek. He conceals his Shechina, and His presence is removed from Klal Yisrael. That's Aster Esponai. That's it. There's no longer Ashgach on Klal Yisrael, and that's why this Apikoros turns his back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. You should know I'm turning my back to you because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning back to your people. And He's ignoring you. And don't claim that you have some sort of special relationship with the Almighty God. On the contrary, you're suffering tremendously through persecutions and pogroms and everything else.
But I'm sorry, what the concept of the Tefillin Shel Yad doesn't necessarily entail a turning away. It's just that it's a person.
Again, you know, this Apikoros is not aware of the Tefillin Shel Yad. He's completely oblivious to Tefillin Shel Yad. He thinks that the Jewish people and their unique chosenness reflects itself in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, period, and that's it. Well, I have news for you, Rabbi Yeshua. Forget about the Tefillin Shel Rosh. You guys are losers. You're goners. You know, you'll go down in the annals of history of a nation that once was and had the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Vero Kol Am Yeretz, but is no longer. That's what they say about Hitler, Yimach Shemo, that he left a few synagogues in Prague because he wanted people to have a museum in which they could see what once was the Jewish people. They had these beautiful synagogues, but they no longer exist. All our enemies want to say the following, that God has forsaken the Jewish people. He dropped them like a hot potato. Ki aster aster ponai. And all you have is Tefillin Shel Rosh, and even that you don't have anymore. If you don't have the Tefillin Shel Rosh anymore, you're worthless. And here's where, says the Osaveach, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya responds with his gesture. And his gesture is to pull out his yad. Yado netu yaleinu. That yad is the Tefillin Shel Yad. And the Tefillin Shel Yad is still our claim to fame. It represents God's protection of the Jewish people, but in private, not in public. No longer at this point in time can the Am Yaretz really perceive the greatness of the Jewish people, their chosenness, and the spectacular events and miracles that God will bring about to protect His people. They can't see that anymore. Because now it's the Bechin of Tefillin Shel Yad, and Tefillin Shel Yad is l'chali ila els, v'lo l'acherim li els. So no one else amongst the nations of the world perceives the Tefillin Shel Yad. It's unique to the Jewish people. And that Tefillin Shel Yad symbolizes the ongoing protection of God for the Jewish people, even in Golus and even after Churban. Says the Meshech Chachma, we can now begin to understand a parsha called Eyeh Asher Eyeh. And this is a parsha that reflects the dialogue between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch at the time of the snare, Moshe's first encounter with God. And Moshe raises, you know, with a naive question. He says, Hinei Anochi Bal Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to show up as you told me, you gave me the mission. The God of your forefathers has sent me for you. And they respond, I'm sorry, the Amruli Mashmo. If I identify myself to the people of Israel as the God of your fathers who was sent here to you, in other words, to redeem you, they're going to ask me, what is his name? Which probably on a deeper meaning means, what's his essence? Ma'omar Aleim. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns in all honesty to the Ribono Shalom, tell me, what answer can I give them? And Moshe Rabbeinu, although he's couching it in terms of the curiosity of the people of Israel, he himself is curious. Who are you? What are you? Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. All right, that's complicated enough, but at least Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I will be what I will be. But then, Vayomer Kotomar Lebnei Yisrael, God adds a postscript, so to speak. And he says, Eyeh Shlachani Aleichem. Now, wait a second. A few seconds ago, Hashem said to Moshe, Eyeh Asher Eyeh, that's my name. That's how I identify myself. And now God, in the Nevuah here, is identifying Himself as Eyeh. You know, is God Eyeh Asher Eyeh, or is God Eyeh? Because initially, when Moshe Rabbeinu raises the question, Mashmo, God's response was Eyeh Asher Eyeh. But then God tells Moshe to tell the people of Israel that he was sent, that Moshe was sent by Eyeh. So on the one hand, God identifies himself as Eyeh Asher Eyeh. On the other hand, he tells Moshe to tell the people that I am Eyeh. And the answer perhaps lies in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillin of all places. The Rambam dedicates an entire halacha to the Kedusha of Tefillin. But not only to the Kedusha of Tefillin on a halachic basis, but moreover, what is the sanctity of Tefillin? And the Rambam compares Tefillin to the Tzitz, and he says that our relationship to Tefillin has to be even greater than the relationship to the Tzitz. Why? Because the Tzitz has a Kedusha of what's called Shem Echad, meaning the name of God, Yudke Vavke, appears once on the Tzitz. And it's written on top there, Shkodesh Lashem, Yudke Vavke. But now let's take a look at Tefillin. And the Rambam says, can you imagine the great care and so forth that you have to have for the Tefillin? The Tefillin has a Kedusha that's greater than the Tzitz. The Kedusha HaTzitz is only the Kedusha of one Shem. In Tefillin, how many times do we have the Yudke Vavke? 42 times. 21 in Tefillin Shel Yad, and 21 in Tefillin Shel Rosh. 42 times in the Tefillin that we wear, we have the name Yudke Vavke. That goes a lot beyond the Tzitz. And if we have to be careful about the Kedusha Tzitz, then multiply it when we talk about the Kedusha of Tefillin, which has 21 times 2 mentions of the Yudke Vavke, the holy name of Hashem. So perhaps we can now understand the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe's query, what do I tell them when they ask me who sent you? And Hashem says, Eya Asher Eya. Notice that he has the Eya twice, which means that God tells the people of Israel, I reveal myself in a spectacular, miraculous control of nature. That's called Eya Asher Eya. And I reveal myself in both the Tefillin Shel Yad, which has 21 mentions of Yudke Vavke, and in the Tefillin Shel Yad, which also has 11 Azkaros of the name of God. Now, the Tefillin Shel Rosh, in addition to the 21 mentionings of the name of God in the Tefillin Shel Yad, gives us another 21 name, another 21 occasions of Eya of the name of Hashem. So when the people ask me, "Who are you, God?" God's response is Eya Asher Eya. The Eya Asher Eya is a remez to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, to the complete, absolute Gilui, the revelation of Hashem. And that's the point in which we finally complete the number 42. We'll see the significance of number 40. 42 Azkaros of the Shem. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there's another question that's going to reverberate and echo throughout Jewish history about God, and the answer to that query is going to be Eya Shlachani Aleichem. At the time of Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will send my Redeemer, but there will be an Eya situation. My relationship with Klal Yisrael at the time of Golus is going to be an Eya relationship with one name of God, with 21 repetitions of the name of God, and that's in the Tefillin Shel Yad. But at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to reveal himself with the other 21 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudke Vavke, that are in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because now it's a period of Hester Ponim. And that's reflected by the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is L'chol Yos V'lo L'Acherim Yos. So the name Eyeh, now we have to take it apart. Let's see, Aleph is one, hey, that's 20, 21. Eyeh is 21. 21 in the single word Eyeh reflects the number of times that tefillin appear in the tefillin shel yad. And that's called Eyeh. Eyeh, as we saw before, is the Hester Ponit, is a very intimate relationship between God and the Jewish people, but no other nation can perceive that relationship. That's unique. And at this point, we have one Eyeh, because during the period of Golus, we only have 21 Azkaros of the Shem in the Tefillin Shel Yad, and that's a private relationship between the Shechina and Knesset Yisrael. It's not revealed. It's the Tefillin Shel Yad. That's the single Eyeh, which represents the 21 names of God that are in the Tefillin Shel Yad. But there's going to be another 21 mentions of the name of God, and that's the Tefillin Shel Rosh. When we add the two together, we have the full Gilui Shechina. And that's going to take place, befall at the time of the Gula Sida. Then we'll be able to combine the Eyeh with another Eyeh, the Tefillin Shel Yad with another Tefillin Shel Rosh. And when we wear the Tefillin Shel Rosh now, it's a prayer, so to speak, for the future, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about the Gilui of Tefillin Shel Rosh, which means that we should go up from the level of Tefillin Shel Yad, which is indicative of the relationship between God and His people, Behester, and reach the level of Tefillin Shel Rosh of a row Kol Ami Yaretz Asher Hashem Hashem Nikra Lecha, when it's going to be obvious to the world that Hashem chose us. And that obvious nature represents the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and that's the complete Gilui Shechina that'll happen and come to fruition at the time of the future Gula. What we have now is the Tefillin Shel Yad. And what is the symbolic representation of Tefillin Shel Yad? It's the Eyeh. It's only one Eyeh. It's not the public Eyeh, it's the private Eyeh. It's not the Tefillin Shel Rosh of a row, but rather Tefillin Shel Yad, which is personal, which is private, which is concealed. That's the ongoing relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael that's represented by the number, by the Tefillin Shel Yad and the number Eyeh, the one-time Eyeh, the Chaf Aleph of Eyeh, the 21 Azkaros in the Tefillin Shel Yad. All this is Rabbeinu Simcha. And he says that when you add together the 21 mentionings of the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Tefillin Shel Rosh, with that of the 21 in Tefillin Shel Yad, and you end up with 42, that is called, in the language of the Gemara Kiddushin, Shem Ben Arboim Ushtayim Osios. The holiest name of God is made up of no less than 42 letters. The Ein Mosrin Oso Elo Lemisha Hu Tzanua V'Anav. What does he mean when he says Ein Mosrin Oso? I think he means that it was very private, very secretive, passed on maybe from mouth to ear. What is this holiest name of God that has 42 letters? In fancy English, it's called the Tetragrammaton. And you can't just give it out to anyone. Meaning, if you are privy to that information, you have to be very reserved and restricted about passing and sharing it with others. And that's the Shem Ben Arboim Ushtayim Osein Mosin Osel Mishu Tzanua V'Anov V'Odel V'Zoyer Bo Ushmarto Betara. So the zchus of the Tefillin Shel Rosh is that after we have the Tefillin Shel Yad, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh have to come after the Tefillin Shel Yad, we've already achieved the Tefillin Shel Yad. We've gotten to the point where a person can certainly perceive, if he's big enough to do so, the private nature of the intimate nature of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch. Once we've achieved that Tefillin Shel Yad level, now we're ready to go forward and achieve the level of Tefillin Shel Rosh. And what is the Tefillin Shel Rosh? That represents the ultimate Hashgacha over Klal Yisrael. And that's something that can only come as the next stage, first stage being the Tefillin Shel Yad. So once we get to Tefillin Shel Yad, then and only then we can project ourselves forward to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Ultimately, when we achieve the level of Tefillin Shel Rosh, there'll be a pachad of the Ami Aretz, a maso mutela salabrios. So, in what way, with what gesture, does Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya allude to this ongoing relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Tefillin Shel Yad, which never stopped, even and despite the destruction and the goals? And the answer is, he's trying to hold on to this message of Zroa Netuya, of the Tefillin Shel Yad. This is the message of optimism. This is the message of hope for a brighter future. This is what Rabbi Yeshua is turning to the Apikoros, and he says, yes, at this point in time, it's all behester. There's no open warmth or caring or compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. But Yado Netuya Olein, there will be a Tefillin Shel Rosh as well. Now we're at the level of Yado Netuya. Where does this phrase Yado Netuya Olein come from? And the answer is, it's a pasuk in Yeshayo, which we indicated earlier. Ki Masu Es Toras Hashem Tzvakos Es Imras Kodesh Yisrael Noatzu Al Kain Chora Api Baher Af Hashem Biamo. And then it says, Vayet Yado Olav. Now, after all this description of Churban, of Masu Es Toraso, of Kedosh Yisrael Noatzu, and Chara Hashem Biamo, what's the situation now of the Jewish people? And he says the following. You can interpret Vayet Yado Olav in two ways. You could say Vayet Yado Olav means God is punishing the Jewish people. And this is a further, if you will, intensification to a higher level of the klala of Kimasu, etc. Vechara af Hashem b'yamo Vayet Yado Olav Vayakeu. But there's another way of learning the Ode Yado Netuya. Despite the Masu Es Toraso, despite the Chara Af Hashem B'Amo, nevertheless, there's still Vayet Yado Olav. There still is an ongoing intimate caring and relation between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael. Vayet Yado Olav. And now if we take a look at Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we'll see that he's really paraphrasing that pasuk in Yeshaya, and he's saying the Ode Yado Netuya, and don't interpret it that Yado Netuya means God is stretching out his arm against the people of Israel to punish them. That would certainly be the interpretation of the Apikoros of the Min, but no, ain perusha l'ra'ah, but rather this is not part of a punishment, a divine punishment, but rather what's going on here is the Tovas Yisrael, for the benefit of the Jewish people. What is the Ode Yado Netuya? Gam behester ponim, kishakodesh baruch hu master is ponov, lo shava apo b'yem, im kol zos, Ode Yado Netuya, legonen ulishmar olenu, God is still out there. Again, it's private, it's concealed, it's not obvious, but he's protecting the Jewish people. The Tefillin Shel Yad always exists. And what Yoshua, Rabbi Yeshua, was saying to this Apikoris was, Od Yado Netuya. You're looking at things from the outside, the way they're revealed. You're reading the newspapers and interpreting what's going on to the Jewish people and the pogroms and the anti-Semitism. And you therefore draw the conclusion that God has forsaken us. He's turned his back to us. You're making a grave error. It's true that we don't have Kiro, Ami Arit says, Panecha V'yareis V'yira. They don't have Yira here. Because the Tefillin Shel Rosh is not the Tefillin Shel Rosh. But as far as the Tefillin Shel Yad is concerned, that's something totally different. There, it's the concealed relationship, the private, intimate relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is reflected, says the Ohr Sameach, in the Tefillin Shel Yad, and Tzlichol Lios, v'lo l'acherim Lios. So V'yod Yodon Etuya is an expression of something positive of the Tefillin Shel Yad, which represents the ongoing protection that Hashem affords the Jewish people. And now, my friends, I'm up to a paragraph, Nimtza, on the bottom of the middle column, page 2. I can't see you too clearly, so if you can show me whether you have this or not. Is there anyone here who has this? Nobody. Okay. So it'll, what? So it'll have to be Hester. It'll have to be Torah Shebal Peh. It's going to be like Tefillin Shel Yad. Now, at this point, I need your help. That's why I was hoping you have the text. I'm going to try to do the best I can. He differentiates between the right arm and the left arm. And he wants to know, when the Torah doesn't specify which Yad, what do we assume? Do we assume that it's the small, or do we assume it's the Yamin? And it's specifically relevant to this pasuk, V'od Yado Netuya. Which arm is stretched out to protect the Jewish people? And he writes, Yad Smol. That whenever we see the Yad and it's not qualified, we assume it's Yad Smol. Yad Yamin is always Chesed. Small is always din. If that be the case, when it says v'yayet yado olav, that would be a reference to midas hadin, in which God is meting out justice and punishment to the evildoers. That's yado netuya olav, and that would mean that the entire meaning or significance of this Yado Netuya as the Yad Smol is Midas Hadin. This is not good news. And he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says on the left column, Chesed Zroa Yamin, Gvura Zroa Smol. And the Pasuk in Eicha says, Heshiv Achor Yamino, that God removed his right hand because the right hand is the midah of chesed. And now we're talking about the destruction of all that's holy in Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. Heshiv achar yamino. God is now changing his arm from the right arm of chesed and manifesting his left arm, which is din. So when the Navi says, V'od yado netuya, he's expressing the following idea. We should know that even during a period of Golos, when we're in exile, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us there, Heshiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yad Yamino Achar, he's sending us into Golos because his right hand is in the back, meaning it's, so to speak, it's non-functional. Ki Ein Pa'ulas HaChesed Gluya. Only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash was Chesed absolutely clear. But nevertheless, Yado, Netuya, Lishmar Aleinu Begolos. What's Yado? It's the left hand, and the left hand which represents the meat of din, kosher. That's the left arm. Is Hera Pikoris L'Rab Yeshua Shekodesh Baruch Histis Panov? Because during the time of the Golus, Hashem takes his right hand and he puts it in the back, and the Midas HaChesed is terminated. So Rabbi Yeshua answers, no, V'od Yadu Netuya. Which means that Afilu Biyad Smol Od Yadu Netuya Lishmar Olenu. That's the part that I'm trying to understand. Afilu biyad smol od yado nituya lishmar olenu. All this is the presentation of the Marsha, and what we derive from the Marsha is that when Rabbi Yeshua stretches out his arm, the Marsha understands that it's the left arm. And that's an allusion to the fact that Yado Smolish Shalakar is broken into your Lishmar Alena Begolos. That the left arm, which represents Din, is stretched out during the exile period to protect the Jewish people. But I don't get it. We just finished saying that the left arm is the arm of Din. So why is that called Lishmar? Lishmar Olenu. I don't get it. If it's the Yad Smol, the Yad Smol is meeting out punishment, that's hardly Lishmar Olenu. I suspect. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Maybe because if I'm being stretched out, it's against the enemy. It's not stretched out towards it, bringing brought in towards us. Just say something like that.
Maybe I was curious because I thought maybe the Yad Smol, in order to protect us, is meeting out Gvura and Din against our enemies. Because you take a look at the next paragraph, and he writes, "Hein emes shebegolus heishiv hakadosh baruch kaviyochel yad yamino achar." God's right hand in the golus is on the back, is behind him. Kedei sheyu begolus. They should remain in exile. Ad asher yitaknu kol mashem tzricha l'taken. We have a job in exile. We have to try to do whatever we have to do and rectify whatever we can in the golus. Im kolzos, nevertheless, kasher rishay umas olam mitzerim es Yisrael. Although in golus there is a certain license given by Almighty God to the Rishei Umas Olam, to these evildoers, to inflict anguish upon us, but only up to a certain point. Velo Yoser, but not beyond. Mashenit Nalem Rishus, Anche Eino Misugol Lasakin Es Atikunim Begolus Ki Oz Im Osa Yad Smol Shemimena Nimshach Adin Al Yisrael Begolus. Ba'atzma Maka Kodesh Baruch Hu HaRishoy. Do you see, Joe, where I got this from? Because he's saying that the Midas HaDin of God's left arm in Golus has a double function. On the one hand, Nimshach HaDin Al Yisrael, there's a judgment and a harsh judgment against Yisrael that they remain in exile. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that same left hand, Lahakos es HaRishoyim, and to protect the people of Israel. And that protection of the people of Israel is the symbolic message that Rabbi Yeshua wanted to convey, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the Yad Smol, during the long years of bitter Golus, nevertheless he's using his Yad Smol Lahakos Bereshoyim as punishment for the evildoers, Kedei Lishmar Al Yisrael, and the ultimate goal is to protect the Jewish people. So let's see if that fits in. I know we have to end in a minute, but the Navi says, Becholzos Lo Shav Apo, the Yisrael Begolos. the od yado netuya. It means that Yeshayahu and Avi is saying two things. Number one, he's saying that lo shava apo, that God has sent us out into the gullus and his anger is still very real. But then he says v'od yado netuya. And the Od Yod Netuya means that the Yad Smol is going to be used to protect the Jewish people and mete out punishment to the Sonei Yisrael, to the enemies of the Jewish people. And that's what you'll see on the top of page 3. And then we'll take a little break. It says, Od Yod Netuya Lishmar Aleinu B'Yad Smol. How is God protecting us with his left hand, if the left hand is not chesed, it's din? Al Yidei Shemakaba Sonei Yisrael, has God protect us by using his left hand to beat us at din and destroying our enemies? Halavad. So just to summarize the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, the Apikoros came to be Loeg al Yisrael, make fun of them in front of the Kesar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Master is Pana Begolus. He was Meshiv Yad Yamino Achor. There's no Midas HaChesed here anymore. And for that, the response of the Tana Rabbi Yeshua was that there is a netiyas od yado, which means that even when the left hand is stretched out, and that's the midas hadin, even so God, in a concealed mode, is protecting the Jewish people and destroying their enemies with the yad smol of midas hadin. And we could add another element into this picture, embellish it further, that by flicking his left hand towards the Apikoros, what he's telling him that here's going to be an example of where Hashem protects us against our adversaries, and you will be killed. And the left Yado Netuya Vakadosh Baruch Hu against the enemies of Klal Yisrael is going to first and foremost impact against this very Apikoros, because Hashem is protecting us even with the Yad Smol. And in Golus, even though we're not Zocha to the Sanhog of Tvil and Shorosh, that will instill fear in the hearts of our enemies, nevertheless, we are Zocha to the Sanhog of the Tvil and Shal Yad, which is on the left hand, to continue the Midas HaDin HaKosh Al Sonei Yisrael. The Midas HaDin will be extended against the enemies of the Jewish people who try to destroy us, subjugate us, and bring us endless anguish. And the Gemara says in Yuma and Daf Samach Tesem Beis Omer Yishuv Ben Levi Loma Nikra Shmon Anshei Knesset Hagdol Shechziru Atar Yoshna Ata Asa Moshe V'Yomar Hakel Agol Agiva Nora Asa Yirmi Av Yomar in the Chara Mekarkin Beheichal Ayei Nora Secha and Lo Amar Nora Asa Daniel Amar Nachum Ishtabim Vanecha Ayei Gvur Secha Lo Amar Gibor Asa Anshei Knesset V'Yomar Adarav Zui Gvurosav Shekovesh es Ritzono, Shenosin Erech Apayim L'Rishoyim, V'Elu Heino Ra'osav Shel Moloi Moro Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heich Uma Achas Yechol L'Skayim Beino Umos. And the beer is that Yirmiyahu and Daniel took away and ceased describing God as Gibor V'Nora. They thought that in the Golus HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Heishiv Yemino Ochar. His yamin, his right hand of chesed is on the back. He's manig Yisrael b'midas hadin. Where's the norosav? Where the gvurosav? Until the Anshei Knesset Hagdola revealed that with this yad smol itself, this midas hadin, God is protecting the Jewish people and avenging them against their enemies. Lasos nekom b'goyim atzikim liYisrael. So even in Golus, we still have hein hein norosav, hein hein gvurosav shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's punishing the goyim with his left hand. And he's being manig Klal Yisrael even in the Golus. And this is what's going on in the Golus and the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.